Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a phenomenal day again today. We're staying busy here at Health Masters, always steady, helping everybody out the best we can. And so we got a lot of interesting articles for you today. It's going to be it's going to be the last debate tonight, guys. It's going to be interesting to see if Trump can really pull out some pretty crazy information that I really hope he gets on the floor for this debate. Dad, what do you think about this going on tonight?
I think Trump's going to basically eviscerate her like he did the last time. I always remember when he first started the first debate and he referred to her as Madam Secretary, he tried to take the high road. He basically had some really bad advice from some of his counselors and some of the people that were handling the election politics for him, and he tried to moderate the debate and be a moderate and basically not come after her hook, line, and sinker. And because he did that, he didn't have enough facts pulled up to handle the onslaught of debating two people at one time. The last time he had to debate three at once. So the second debate, he called them all out and said, I guess it's three on one tonight. So I got a feeling he's going to be just absolutely eviscerating her again. I really believe he needs to talk more about the 12-year-old girl who got raped, whose rapist she defended and laughed about it on audio tape. I mean, and he needs to say, go to my website, Trump.com or whatever his website is, and say, listen to Hillary laughing at the rape victim, the 12-year-old girl who was beaten unconscious. He needs to do that. He needs to talk. If she starts in on the sexual stuff again, he just needs to tear in to Bill Clinton for all of the rapes and all of the people that he was involved with. That really backfired on her heavily last time. But that's how I would handle it. Also, with Mike Wallace and those guys, and Chris Wallace, and now Mike Wallace's son, doing the interview, I would basically tell him that, you know, he starts being disrespectful, I'd put a stop to it right from the beginning. And I'd say, look, you know, your dad, Mike Wallace, was a great commentator with 60 Minutes, did a great job. I've been interviewed by him before. He was very fair with me, and you're not being fair. Your dad would be ashamed of you. This is the same advice, basically, that Roger Stone had given. And so that's what I look at the whole thing for, is that, you know, we got to really put Chris Wallace back on his heels to start with, so he won't go ahead and capitulate to the New World Order's policy of just going in there and doing what they're going to do to Donald Trump, regardless of the consequences. Also, this is one thing that I need to share with you guys yesterday, because I really went into this giant rant pontification yesterday about the election in the country. This is a crossroads election that we have. You know, this is like a crossroad decision that we have in the United States. And when in my first book, Maxim Energy, was sold close to 1 million copies. I remember I dedicated the book to Zig Ziglar and to God and to Jesus, and I wrote a whole introduction on it. And I said, and very rarely do we ever get crossroad decisions in our lives, decisions that we look back on, which change the entire course of our life or our destiny here on this planet. This is one of those elections. This is a crossroad election. You know, when we got rid of George W., everybody hated the GOP. Everybody hated George W. Everybody hated what he had done in Iraq and what he had done in the Middle East. And of course, Obama just picked up the mantle and did exactly what George Bush had done and kept it going. Trump's not going to do that. The problem is that Hillary is 10 times, if not 100 times worse than Obama. And if we put her in the White House and we give her the authority to do whatever she wants to do based on what they ask her to do, she's not going to have to show any restraint whatsoever to get things done, because we saw that in Libya. You know, we saw that in Benghazi. We saw that in Egypt. We saw that in the Middle East. We've seen that in Syria. Very little restraint is ever shown when the Khazarian mafia gets involved with all of this stuff and they start telling them what to do. You know, of course, this is the Rothschild banking cartel and those who run the world's finances. So this is one of those crossroad decisions. We have to go right or we have to go left. Right's going to take us back to the Mayberry United States, the Norman Rockwell that I knew as a child, at least for 8 years, or Trump will try to do that. Left is going to take us into a complete and total global control dictatorship under a new world order, you know, under the United Nations, in which we'll all be serfs in the political system, which will be completely and totally corrupt to the core, which Hillary's already shown and WikiLeaks has shown. And oh, by the way, the Ecuadorian government did turn off Assad's internet connection in the Ecuadorian embassy in England, basically because they were threatened. The Ecuadorian government was threatened with a coup, according to Dave Hodges, and a complete overthrow of the government if they did not do that. However, supposedly he's got some other folks that have information also that they can send it out from an alternative source. But this is some crazy stuff that's going on right now. We have one of the most It's not one of. It's probably the most corrupt political system in the entire world, the most corrupt political system we've ever had in the United States. And we've seen all of this because of the WikiLeaks and all of these different revelations that are coming out with all these Podesta emails and the Clinton emails and all of the things that are being shown to be such an unbelievable farce as far as what the reality is and what they tell us the reality is. And that's what we've been trying to do on the Ted and Austin Brower Show for well over a year now. We've been trying to give you guys the information that we know to be true. And now what's funny, Austin, is all of the stuff that we've talked about, the glyphosate, all of it, Monsanto, all of it, all of the top 10 foods never to eat, what's going on in Washington, the pedophile scandals, all of it is now becoming mainstream because of the email leaks. And you know what, guys? Austin and I can continue to do this and teach you guys. Just yesterday, we talked to you about wheat and told you to completely get off of wheat. And Natural Blaze came out with an article today, and it said more and more studies are showing why wheat products, at least in America, are terribly unhealthy, whether you have sensitivity to gluten or not. There are more components of wheat than gluten. Let's look beyond gluten, which is made up of two proteins, gliadin and gluteon. Gliadin is one that gives people a lot of trouble and can exacerbate ADHD, autism, schizophrenia, and bipolar disorder. Americans get a lot more gliadin from the same amount of wheat they did in 1960. Allow me to summarize about the 10 issues plaguing American modern wheat production. Number one, our wheat and so-called whole grain wheat is not excused from this list. Our bread, noodles, and other flour products are stripped of their parts and nutrients and bleached, and then they're fortified with synthetic vitamins that are tough on the liver. Don't forget the dough conditioners and the other additives. The ancient tall amber waves of grain are almost a thing of the past. Trading our diverse crop practices for convenient monoculture spells disaster. Desiccating or drying the wheat before harvest several days before with Roundup or glyphosate causes us to literally eat a herbicide that causes breast cancer in parts per trillion. Glyphosate has been heavily detected in beer and other wheat products, as well as other crops that are desiccated with glyphosate, such as oats. Desiccating or drying wheat before harvest with toxic Roundup is literally causing us to be poisoned by the millions. And guys, you know, the thing we have to realize is that we've got all of this research that we have available for you at healthmasters.com on the literature that I've written and all the stuff that I've personally written out. It's very important. Cereal, he goes on to say, is so processed that it's not even funny. Seriously, don't even try cereal. Don't even eat cereal. And then that's what it says. And it says radiation and chemical mutagenesis. Modern commercial baking methods leave way more gluten in the finished bread. And we don't soak acidic grains in an acidic medium. It's like, you know, so the whole thing about this is saying don't eat bread, don't eat wheat products, which is exactly what we said yesterday, Austin. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, we've gone into detail of it over and over before. The easiest way to look at it, guys, the most simplistic way to look at it is how processed the food is. If you're going and you're getting your food from, you know, the natural produce store, if you're getting, you know, certified organic vegetables and you're trying to make your own food, or even if you're getting some basic stuff that's bagged like we've talked about before, you know, bulk bags of organic rice or beans or something like that, you're getting a very, very basic, fairly pure form of food that really has been minimally processed, and then you're building your own foods. That's one thing I love to get is fresh organic chicken breast and green beans and sweet potatoes. That's a staple meal for me. I eat that very regularly, almost all the time. That's always in my meal at least 2 to 3 times a day with my food that I eat. And so the aspect of that is the less processed the food is, the less people have touched it, the less chemicals it's been exposed to, the less exposure to all kinds of other nasty elements that basically have to be used in all these different processed foods. So when you buy these things like the one I saw the other day, the Hungry Man microwave dinner thing, and I was just walking through the aisle and I saw it, and I'm real funny sometimes. Sometimes when I'm in the grocery store, I'm getting something, I'm very zoned in. I want to grab exactly what I need. I want to leave. I don't like to be in there a second longer than I need to be. Other times, I just kind of walk around and look at certain things. I'm kind of bored, and I just look at really random, crappy foods that are on the shelf to kind of get an understanding of what a lot of people are eating. And, you know, I picked it up, and it's like 1,100 calories for this Hungry Man dinner microwave food. And, I mean, it's got literally the list of ingredients, guys, is like 5 inches long, and it's like number 2 font. Like, you need a magnifying glass to look at it. And it's like the whole ingredients are all the way down the back side of the packaging. I honestly didn't even try to read the ingredients. I just looked at it and started chuckling and put it back. My point in saying that is when you're looking at food like that, if you're even contemplating food like that, you have to understand that Your body is a machine. It has to process food. It has to process. It cleans your blood. It digests the food. So you may eat something in your body, and you may be like, oh, well, it's not that bad. Well, your body has to deal with that toxic sludge in it for days on end to try and process it and get the chemicals filtered out of your body, to get the glyphosate now, try to detox your body from that, and then it's got to go through your digestive tract and then go through your colon. So it, why do you want to put that in your body? A lot of times these packaged foods, if you start looking at the actual food that you're getting and the quality of the food and the cost of the food, it's more money than it is to buy your own produce and make your own food from scratch, like making some grilled chicken with a cup of green beans and a sweet potato. You start doing the math on it, you know, yeah, it may take you a little bit longer to cook because you can't put it in the microwave and nuke your food for 2 minutes and it's done and ready to eat. But quite frankly, you guys shouldn't be using the microwave anyways. You guys already know that. Microwave should be used as a last resort ditch effort to heat food, and it should be only to heat food minimally that has already been cooked. I never recommend cooking food in a microwave under any circumstances whatsoever, unless it was some type of dire emergency and that was the only power or access you had as far as to cook food. Obviously, that's completely different. But on a daily basis, never cook with a microwave. It's disgusting. Completely changed the molecular structure of the food. I told you guys last year when Lana was pregnant how she couldn't even eat microwave food anymore. It actually made her vomit when she was pregnant. Never had this happen before in her life until she got pregnant. And it's because her body was so clean and she had a pure child that she was growing. The microwave food completely trashed her gut out. Her body didn't even want it. It had to puke it back up. It made it that toxic, guys. And this wasn't like Hungry Man dinner and all this stuff. This is organic food we were cooking in the microwave. That's how toxic the microwave stuff does. So that's just a kind of side note. I want a little rabbit trail there on the microwave. But yeah, Dad, you're absolutely right. Everybody's got to start looking at their ingredients. And if it's more than a line or two, you really got to reevaluate if you want to put it in your body.
Well, the biggest problem with microwave dinners, and I don't use them, okay? I may heat up some oil or something like that or whatever. I mean, if you know, I don't ever heat things in the microwave. I don't cook things in the microwave. But here's the thing about the microwaves. If you're going to use the microwave to cook food, which we tell you not to do, say, we can't make it any more clear than that, don't do that. But if you're going to do that, take the food out of the microwave and put it into a ceramic pot or, you know, or to a glass pot or whatever can handle the microwave if it doesn't have any metal in it, and put a glass lid on it. Glass is the best. And
yeah.
Here's why. Almost all of the microwave trays that you use that are have food in them are lined with bisphenol A or some other type of plastic polymer. Now, they also put the plastic wrap on top, like a saran wrap. Well, when you cook all that mess together, it melts right into the food and massively increases the dosing of the poison from the food. So if you're going to do it in a microwave, some of you single guys, you're not going to listen to us about this anyhow, you're going to cook it in a microwave, take it out of the container that it's in, that you're cooking it in, and put it into a pot, glass pot. Now, one of the other things you can do, we have some, I know the kids like macaroni and cheese, the organic macaroni and cheese, and it will come frozen. It's like an entree. You cook it in the oven. We will sit it on the in the refrigerator section for a couple of days, let it thaw out, and then we will pan fry it or put it in the skillet because it's already pre-cooked, and we'll cook it in a skillet. The same thing you can do with a lot of the microwave foods. I know the burritos and stuff like that. A lot of people like to microwave those. They're frozen. They cook real fast. If you put a stack of burritos and leave them in the plastic wrap they're in, put it in the refrigerator and let them thaw for 3 or 4 days. You can fry them up in some olive oil, and it only takes like 1 or 2 minutes. And so it cooks about as fast as a microwave, but you bypass that because a lot of people are using the microwaves because the food is frozen when it goes in, and it's a big problem. Now, there's several companies that are still manufacturing BPA, which is the bisphenol A they use in a lot of the plastic wraps, and why it hasn't been banned in the United States, I really don't know, because this is a gender-bending chemical. I'll explain that to you in just a minute. Of course, Bayer and Monsanto are they're one of the primary people to continue to do it, along with Dow Chemical. And also Hexion Specialty Chemicals is also a producer of BPA, with this product being found in Deer Park water bottles, okay? I mean, don't... Guys, you know, I don't even know how to tell you. I mean, just the other day I was talking to a gentleman who's all healthy and conscious about it. He was here at the house, and he's still drinking. He was at my house talking, we were having dinner, and he was saying how he only drank bottled water. And I said, well, are you making your own water? He says, no, I always buy it in plastic. And I'm like, you can't do that, dude. I said, the plastic contains the BPA, plus almost all bottled water contains fluoride. You've got to get yourself a distillation system. We have the countertop model that's on sale right now for 5% off for the rest of this week. It's like $400. And what it does, it allows you to have water that is pure, and you can store it in a BPA-free container that comes with the product, and you can also transfer it directly into glass and refrigerate it, drink it as cold water, or leave it stored, you know, for an extended period of time in the event that you had an emergency. But the distillation is the absolute best thing to do, because remember, distilled water is a solvent. It's the only solvent the human body can drink and not get sick or die from. And it really helps to clean out the system. It helps to get the extra salts out, the extra fat out, the extra cholesterol out. It's really amazing what distilled water will do. And no other water will do that. Reverse osmosis won't do it. Reverse osmosis is okay to use in a pinch. But again, any of these compounds, any of these waters need to be kept and stored in glass. You can get glass containers, the gallon apple juice jugs. Sometimes you can buy those online for a couple dollars a gallon, you know, and you have them shipped directly to you, and you have them for storage. Those are the things that we use here at the house. Never store distilled water or any other type of water that you really want to drink for an extended period of time in plastic. That's really, really important. What do you think about that, Oz?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's definitely not the best way to go at all. Now, I mean, I've had people ask me that before, you know, okay, well, which is better? Should I just drink, you know, the tap water out of the sink if I'm somewhere, or drink bottled water? And the truth about it is, at least with the bottled water, there's some type of filtering that's usually done on it. It's definitely not something you ever really want to do and do it regularly. But if you have to do it and you need water, it's better off to get it. Or if you can find it, a lot of stores now are carrying Boss, B-O-S-S, which is basically Norwegian spring water, really good water, and almost all the bottles come in glass. Some of them do come in plastic. But if I'm not mistaken, even the plastic ones, I think, are now being certified BPA-free. But the glass bottle's really good. That's an option right there if you do have to get some water from the store or something like that. But, yeah, drinking out of the plastic, especially on a regular basis for your daily drinking habits, is not a good idea. And one of the easiest ways, guys, to check and really know is feel the plastic bottle. Some of the ones like Zephyr Hills and some of the other brands, you'll squeeze the bottle, and it'll literally feel like paper around water. It's that soft. You could just squeeze your fingers. Your fingers will just dive into it. That's the worst, because the softer that it is, the more BPA and also the more plasticizers they actually have in the plastic, which means even more is going to leach into the water. Some of the harder plastics that some of the companies make, and like the one that we use with the BPA-free one, is actually like a plexiglass. So it doesn't leach anything. So the harder the bottle, usually the less amount of plasticizers in it if you do have to get bottled water in a pinch when you're out. That's pretty much my stance on it, Dad.
And remember, it's a hormone disruptor, bisphenol A is, and what it does, it causes your body thinks it's estrogen. And so when you're a guy and you're drinking out of these plastics, especially when you leave them in the car, let's say you're out running and you come back to the car and you don't have it on ice and you got a plastic water bottle laying in the back seat and it's 150 degrees. I mean, you're basically cooking the water inside of the bottle in the car, and it gets loaded up with these chemicals from the plastic because you're getting it so hot. Then you guzzle that down. You're basically just ingesting a bunch of poisons, what you're doing. That's why if you put a Voss bottle in the car, it's stored in glass, and it gets hot and you drink the hot water or the warm water, if you don't drink hot water, it might burn your tongue. Then what ends up happening is it doesn't have that in there. It still doesn't have that in there. So use the Voss, because remember, when it's an estrogen compound, estrogen mimicker, the body becomes feminized when it gets exposed to large amounts of bisphenol A. When you combine that with soy protein and the hormones in the meat and the dairy products, you end up having a situation in which the vast majority of the population of the United States ends up being feminized. I spoke to a good friend of mine last night. His name is Brad, and he was talking. He's a high school professor, and he was telling me about how the kids nowadays just don't really have any interest in girls anymore, and they're not dating as many girls, and a lot of them are living in their mom's basement, you know, the millennials, and how a lot of these kids have been basically feminized because of all the chemicals in the water supply and what they're putting into their systems. And guys, in the soy protein, he was telling me how he was at a health food show the other day. No, he's at the gym the other day working out. They always ask him, do you want whey protein in your shake or do you want soy? And he goes, I won't touch soy. Because guys, why in the world do you want to take a big old dose of estrogen if you're a guy and you're training with weights? Why do you want to put estrogen in your body if you're trying to increase lean muscle mass? Estrogen and testosterone, they're antagonistic. And so they offset each other. And if you get enough estrogen in your system, you become feminine. You start growing breasts. It's called gynecomastia. And you'll start getting hips. And you'll start losing your lean muscle weight. And you'll start basically looking and starting to act, you know, not necessarily act because your brain won't change that late in life, but you'll start looking more like a girl, shaped like a girl. Now, if a baby's young and he's given soy protein the first few months of his birth, he will actually transfer his brain chemistry from a left brain alpha male dominant brain chemistry to a bright brain chemistry of a female, and it cannot be reversed. It just can't be reversed. Now, I'm not saying the kid's going to be gay, but I'm going to say he's going to act more feminine than he would have normally acted just because of the brain change. So you got to be really, really careful with this stuff. So it's very important you stay away from it all, guys.
Yeah, go ahead, absolutely. Austin. Yeah, and also, too, this kind of different stuff that's going on more with the coming police state now. This is interesting. A new report just came out this week from the Center for Privacy and Technology of Georgetown Law School. They have found now that one in two American adults are in the facial recognition database now. The numbers are so huge in large part now because states are increasingly allowing the FBI and other law enforcement officers to use driver's license databases as perpetual lineups, the report says. Facial recognition technology is spreading like wildfire throughout the United States without the necessary public debate, legal restrictions, and policy guidance to ensure it can be used without violating the civil rights and civil liberties of millions of people not suspected of serious crimes. There are actually today, right now, there are no state or federal laws requiring government agencies to limit facial recognition searches or to perform audits to ensure system accuracy or check for abuse. It's so new now that no restrictions have even been added. What's crazy to me about this, though, is as soon as they want to bring something out that they don't want us to have, they immediately levy restrictions on it and requirements and fees and licenses and everything else, yet they're not doing it with this intentionally. Sheriff's departments, state and local law enforcement agencies, and FBI are all in the facial recognition game to a varying degree nationwide, and it's growing rapidly. One out of two Americans now, half of the population in the United States is now in a facial recognition database. And this is all about what they want to do with the police state. There was a guy in here that came in here about a week ago, visited us. Real nice couple from Tampa. They were visiting us. And he was telling me how he knew one of the guys that had the contracts for the cameras that they put on the poles on the interstate, the big, giant, black bulb cameras. If you've never noticed them, look next time you're on the interstate. And they say when they installed them, they're under the guise of basically monitoring traffic control.
Nope.
He said it's complete and total nonsense. He said these are state-of-the-art cameras. They even have clear heat signature capabilities, meaning they're thermal usage. They can actually look and see how many people are in your vehicle through the vehicle via thermal imaging. They can pick up on tags up to 3 miles away, and they are implemented with facial recognition software that they can identify you right through your windshield at any point on the interstate if they have clear view of you. That's what those cameras are for. They're absolutely nothing to do with monitoring traffic and trying to tell people, oh, there's an accident here, you might want to divert, or traffic's congested. That's complete and total garbage. It's all about putting everybody in a police state where we're monitored on a regular basis. That's what the facial recognition was all about. That's what it started from at the core. That's what it's about now. And now it's out of control with half the adult population in the United States in the facial recognition database, which I can guarantee you by 2020, it will probably be at some point just about every single American adult will be in that database some way, shape, or form now because of what they're doing. But understand, guys, this is growing rapidly. The police state we're starting to see engulf us is growing really, really quickly. And unless we hit the brakes on it, unless we try and slow this down and prevent this from getting worse, it's going to grow exponentially on us like it has since 9/11. Remember, none of this stuff was even implemented, guys, before 9/11. Homeland Security didn't even exist as an entity before 9/11. None of this stuff was in place. The Patriot Act did not exist. This facial recognition, PSA, groping before you get on airplanes, the TSA now having control over buses, having control over the interstates now where they want to start putting up TSA toll booth checkpoints now. Yes, you heard that right. That's something they talked about implementing now all across the country on certain areas so they can stop and check you and ask for your papers, which is your registration, your insurance, and your driver's license, guys. They may not say, Hail Hitler, papers, please. They may not say that, but they're going to ask you for your information. Always understand that, guys. They want your insurance so they can make sure that you have a mandated, a government force mandated insurance that you're carrying, or else you go to jail and your vehicle's impounded. They make sure that you have a driver's license that's active and you don't have a warrant out for something stupid like a red light ticket, or else your vehicle gets impounded and you go to jail. And they also make sure you have proper registration, that you've paid all of your taxes, fees, and registration on your vehicle and your tag matches, or else you go to jail and your vehicle gets impounded. So the whole idea now that we live in a free state is complete and total hogwash. And unless we start bringing this country back to its roots and bringing it back to our constitutional principles, we will cease to exist in the United States of America and as a free country, because we're very close to losing that already now, Dad.
You're absolutely right. The facial recognition cameras on the interstate. If you ever watch this stuff like 24, back with Jack Bauer and all this other stuff, and they say, we had a car go through this intersection, so-and-so, we may think it may be that. And they track the whole car. They turn on all the facial recognition software in the cities. They find the car. They get the satellite involved. And see, that's the other reason that Obama gave us the cash for clunkers program when he first took office. It had nothing to do with getting cars off the road that were dinosaurs, that were gas hogs, that used too much fuel. It was about getting cars on the road that could be tracked, getting all the old cars off the road that couldn't be tracked, getting cars off the road that could not be shut down through a satellite. A few weeks ago, we were over at the Chevrolet Center because we both, Austin and I both drive, well, Austin has a GMC truck, but they're old, and I've got a Chevy truck. And we were over at the Chevy dealership, and they had a guy come in, and he had a title for a new Escalade that he had bought, and he had basically written a bad check for the Escalade and somehow got a title for it. I have no idea how he did that. Then he brought the car down to Plant City, the Stingray Chevrolet, and he swapped the Escalade for a brand new Corvette, and he had the title for the Escalade. And so they thought the title was free and clear. He did it on the weekend so they couldn't run the numbers on it. Come to find out, the guy had basically not made the payment and not paid for the car. That check had bounced for the Escalade, and now he had the doggone Corvette. He was running around up in Baltimore. He's 1,000 miles away. So they called him up, and he was laughing at him. He said, there's nothing you can do, nothing you can do. And they said, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to call OnStar. We don't care where you are. We're going to turn your car off. And then we're going to send the cops to find you because we got GPS tracking on your car right now. So we're going to send OnStar. We're going to have OnStar turn your car off because it's stolen. And we're going to have them tow it in. Or you can take it to a dealership. You can do whatever you want to do, or you can be arrested. But the car is coming back now. And sure enough, the guy said, okay. He took it back to the dealership, and they got the car back. Now, the craziest thing about all of this stuff is that technology exists, and that's why the Clash for Clunkers program was implemented, and they were paying you $3,000-$4,000 for a clunker that was worth $300. And the other thing that it did, trying to buy a child or a 16-year-old a decent car to drive for $500 or $700 is gone now because all of those cars were destroyed. Now you've got to spend thousands of dollars to get a used car. It's ridiculous what they've done, Austin. And you're absolutely right about the facial recognition cameras on the interstate. I have another friend of mine who installs towers. His name is Dan, and he was actually asked to go down to one of those Central American countries to put up huge towers around a prison complex to install cell phone jammers. And he was also one of the contractors that had used to install the facial recognition cameras on the interstates. And he told me, he says, that's what there are. They're facial recognition cameras on the interstates. And he refused to go down to Central America and install the cell phone jammers around this compound because apparently people were being held in like a black ops prison down there. People were smuggling cell phones into them, and they were making phone calls out, and they didn't want anybody knowing where these people were, and they wanted to basically keep them in this black ops prison where nobody could get in touch with them, and they had to put cell phone jammers around the prison. I mean, that's the kind of world that we're living in right now, guys. That's the kind of world that Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton and George Bush and George Bush II and Barack Obama have brought us. This is the world that we live in, and we have to choose on November the 8th whether or not this world is being a world that we want to continue in. Now, here's the problem that we're going to have. Even if Trump gets in, he's got to fight the central bank that's doing in charge of all this stuff. They're the ones. The Catholic Church has been hijacked by the Masonic lodges, and basically they brought up a Luciferian agenda into the Catholic churches. Whether you guys want to believe that or not, it's just as the way it is. Read Operation Gladio, the unholy alliance between the Vatican, the Mafia, and the CIA. Operation Gladio. In fact, that man's supposed to be on our show. I wrote that. Paul Williams, he's supposed to be on our show this month. I got to call him back. And what's interesting about this is that the entire agenda is pushing towards the one world government into a fascist dictatorship, basically run by mega corporations that are owned by the Rothschild banking cartel, to bring us into a one world order under the auspices of the Catholic Church, which has become Luciferian in nature with the leadership they currently have. So this is some crazy stuff. You think, well, Ted, do you believe all this stuff? Everything I just said, I believe all of that, because I can prove all of that. The sad part about it is a lot of the stuff gets even weirder than that when you start going down the rabbit holes. And some of that stuff I can't even wrap my head around, because I don't want to believe some of it. I guess if I have enough normalcy bias, I don't want to think about some of this stuff. By the way, Ford is going to idle 4 factories due to slowing car demand and rising inventories. This is out of Zero Hedge. Over the weekend, basically some of the less than impressive moments in the recent U.S. car industry were suddenly shown into the media. And now we're continuing to see a surge in delinquent subprime auto borrowers hitting a 7-year high as the marginal creditworthy car buyers disappears. Then noting their record 4,000 in industry-wide new car incentives in September as preventing a plunge in last month's auto sales, and recalling last week's downgrade of the U.S. auto sector by Goldman, which said the U.S. cycle has peaked. As a result, slowing demand and declining U.S. auto sales coupled with growing inventory, Ford Motor is halting one of the 2 plants that builds its top-selling F-150 pickup. By the way, which I love those pickup trucks, but they've gotten way too expensive. As it idles 4 factories this month amid slowing U.S. auto sales, as Bloomberg reports starting this week, Ford is shutting its Louisville, Kentucky factory building the Escape and Lincoln, the Ford utility vehicles, as well as 2 plants in Mexico, which they should have never been allowed to open, by the way, down there, and make the Fusion sedan and the Fiesta subcontact. Next week, that's what Trump will hopefully fix that. Next week, the second largest U.S. automaker will close the F-150 factory near Kansas City for 7 days. Guys, what's happened is we have too many car people that are buying new cars that can't afford the cars. It's like a subprime housing crisis all over again, but with automobiles. And with automobiles now being $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 for a car and for an SUV, it's insanity. I remember when Austin first turned 16, what was that, 12 years ago, we were able to get him a little F-150. I think it was like $12,000 for an F-150 for a base model with a 3-speed transmission. I mean, it was crazy how cheap it was. It had all these incentives. I mean, those days are long gone. Those cars don't even exist anymore. And see, the thing about it is that there's no reason not to build cars that are that inexpensive. It's just that they don't want to. And so we have all these people trading these cars in that are upside down in their car payments, which means they have a car that's worth $40,000, they still owe $60,000 on it, and they roll the other $20,000 in on top of another loan. So now they're $50,000 or $30,000 or $25,000 upside down on the car loan. That's why so many people walk away from their car loans and just hand over the keys. This happened to one of our family members years ago. She ended up basically trading a Honda Civic, which was a great car, and she traded it in on a Mitsubishi Eclipse. And the car lost half its value as soon as she bought it. And then it broke down 3 times with her in a year. Had to be towed in 3 times. Finally, she traded it, and she was so upside down in it, she traded it on a used Bronco and was another $15,000 upside down on the used Bronco because she had good credit at this point. Finally, it got to the point her payments for the used Bronco were almost $1,000 a month, including insurance. It was ridiculous. We're talking 20 years ago. It got to the point that the car deal itself ended up causing this person to have to file bankruptcy. And when they finally sold the car, it went to auction. She was $25,000 upside down in the value of the vehicle by the time it all was done with fees and interest and all the other stuff and penalties. Guys, this is happening all over the United States. Here's my suggestion to you. If you've got a car that's paid for, it's a good car and it runs good, just keep it. Don't buy things you don't need to impress people you don't know with money you have to borrow. It's just not necessary. Not in the current economy that we're in. You know, start making those extra payments that you were going to make on those cars on your house mortgage. Start sending an extra check in every month that says principal only to the mortgage lender. And you'll be amazed, 10, 12 years on a 40-year note, if you do that every single month, you can either knock out your mortgage completely or you can knock a big chunk of it off. I've got another friend of mine. He runs a lighting company here in town. He bought a house back in 2008, 8 years ago. And every single month, he said, like, he got bonuses from work every quarter, every month. He would put it on the mortgage, put it on the mortgage, put it on the principal, put it on the principal. He said it took him 8 years, and they finally, last month, sent a check in, which paid their mortgage off, and now they have like an extra $2,000 a month they were making in payments, completely free and clear, and his vehicles are now paid off. If you just apply those basic principles of finance and pay off the largest interest note first, if you've got a credit card you're paying 26-28% on, pay that puppy off and don't use it again. Even if you've got to charge another credit card, which is at 10 or 12%, the balance, get a cash advance to pay off that high credit card, do that. And then start chopping down each credit card, the high ones, and get them paid off. It's really important to stay within your means as far as credit. Because guys, credit can run you into a ditch so fast, like happened to one of our family members, that you end up having to file bankruptcy over this stuff. And there's no reason to do that, especially if you have an automobile that's running well. What do you think, Austin?
No, you're absolutely right. And with the credit cards too, guys, there's so many options and offers now. And I'm not advocating getting in credit card debt, but if it's already happened to you, there's a lot of credit card offers on the market now that they will actually give you 0% on a credit card for 12 to 16 months. And the best thing to do with that, if you have something that you have a credit card maxed out that you're trying to pay on, and like Dad said, you're paying 24-26% interest on it, get another one of those credit cards that are 0%, pay off that high interest credit card completely, and then start chopping down payments on the 0% interest credit card, because it's going to be all going to principal. You're not going to be paying $40, $50, $60, $100 a month just in interest every month, sometimes much higher. Very, very, very important aspect. And as what Dad was saying with the car market we're seeing now, I've seen it firsthand with people I know. And this is what's happening. He called it on points, exactly what's happening. The dealers now don't want to put any money in used vehicles, but then they want to turn around, and when they take a used vehicle in, they want to make $15,000, $20,000 on it. And what they've done now with this and with the massive influx of the new vehicles coming in that, like Dad said, are $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 stickers. I mean, I was online the other day looking at something that new Escalade now with, like, loaded up. It's like $98,000, $100,000 SUV now for an Escalade. That's absolutely ridiculous, guys. And it's not even like you're getting anything significant. The towing isn't good. It's not even a diesel. And you're paying $100,000 for this SUV. And people are doing this now with these vehicles that they bought for $50,000, $60,000 years ago. They're upside down in them. Well, now they're having to flip it into another vehicle that they really don't need. So these loans now are going out to 72 and 84 months now on some of them that I've been watching. And the problem with this is, You got vehicles that are having to make payments on for 6 and 7 years, guys. And it's not like a lot of these times these payments are $100 a month. These payments are $400, $500, $600, $700 a month.
$1,000.
Yeah, $1,000 a month on some of them. And you're pushing out 7 years, almost close to a 10-year mortgage at some point. And the problem is these vehicles aren't made like they used to be. A lot of these vehicles now, guys, they're having issues with them after the warranty goes out. That's why so many people are trading in their vehicles once the warranty goes out. Honda and Toyota have still held their presence pretty strong with their reliability. I know my brother-in-law, he's still got like a 2001 Camry, and he won't trade it in. I've even talked to him about getting something, and he doesn't want to. He said it's paid for, it gets good fuel mileage, it runs good, and he wants to keep it. And I said, well, it says more power to you on it. I said, it is paid for, and it's still super reliable. And right now, guys, in the midst of this economy and what we're seeing with the election and with Russia and the absolute rigging of what's going on now with Clinton, we're finally being exposed to how fixed this whole thing is. I mean, we're really seeing it firsthand that right now, guys, it's probably not the best time to go take on a higher car payment or go buy a brand-new vehicle for $800 or $900 a month. May want to wait till next year if you're going to do that, if you just absolutely have to, and wait and see what happens, because the economy starts tanking, the first thing you're going to want to stop paying for is a huge car payment, because if you're trying to do between your housing that you need to keep your family, you know, a roof over their head, or your food bill, or your gas budget to get back and forth to work, a $600, $700, $800, $900 a month vehicle payment is not going to be a priority anymore, and you're going to have to trade it in and go right back down to something smaller or dump it back at the dealer. So be very, very careful about financing some of these big deals right now, guys, because these cars, this car market is really volatile, as you can see with Ford now, really, really slowing down with a lot of other manufacturers who have followed the same footsteps.
Well, and think about it this way, too. Let's say you're married, and you and your wife both have a job, and you have new cars, and then you have a good income coming in because you're both working, and now you got to go ahead and you buy your finance, and it's another car, so now you have three cars, and you finance a Corvette, which is a great car. I love Corvettes. But you finance it. So you got $1,000 a month of that payment. You got $1,000 a month pickup truck payment. Your wife's got $1,000 a month other payment, but you're making $70,000 a year or whatever, and everybody's happy. But what if your wife gets pregnant? Now she can't work anymore. She has to take a leave of absence. Or, heaven forbid, you get divorced. And now all of a sudden, you are going down to one income, and this stuff is in your name, and you're like, I cannot believe I'm in this position. I'm upside down on all of these vehicles, and I'm trying to liquidate stuff. Now you got to go up to $20,000, $30,000 just to get rid of the cars.
Yeah.
Just to get rid of the cars, you got to pay $20,000, $30,000 just to get rid of them. And that's out of pocket. You literally have to go out and get a personal loan just to get out of the notes. I mean, what a mess. And we know people that are in those kinds of situations. So guys, it's really important that you don't finance toys. I have told that to Austin and all my kids. If you want to buy a little boat or whatever, a little rowboat or whatever you want, it's going to be $1,000, pay cash for it. Don't finance it. If you want to buy a bigger boat, you want to finance it, don't buy it. Just don't do that. You don't need to finance toys. It's just not necessary because the toys in most cases don't really hold the resale value up. By the way, Saudi and China now are dumping treasuries, which they've been doing, by the way. Foreign central banks are liquidating a record $364 billion in U.S. paper. Remember I told you guys the other day that the Federal Reserve was smart. They didn't sell the debt to the American people by themselves or issue IOUs to the other people. They sold our debt to these other countries like China and the Saudis. 1 month ago, we last looked at the Fed's update of treasuries held in custody. We noted something troubling. The number dropped sharply, declining by over $27 billion in 1 week, the biggest weekly drop since 2015, pushing the total amount of custodial paper to $2.83 trillion. That's how much money they've sold in our debt to other countries. This is crazy. 1 month later, foreign central banks continued their relentless liquidation of U.S. paper held in the Fed's custody account, which tumbled by another $22 billion. But guys, think about this. If you have $2.83 trillion at $22 billion a month, it takes a long time to go through $2.83. That's 100 months to go through that much money. Okay, so you can't just liquidate that much money because there's not a demand for it. Okay, this is the problem that we're seeing now as the United States is starting to lose its reserve currency status. People are scared to hold on to the treasury because the only reason we've had the ability to maintain the value of our dollar is because it's a petrodollar. Oil has to be purchased in it. We talked about this yesterday. And also we have the reserve currency status. What do you think, Oz?
No, you're absolutely right. Like you said, it takes a long time to start liquidating that much. People don't realize, you know, we were talking the other day, Dad, me and you, and I said, we start looking at where, you know, people bring these media articles up and they're like, oh, well, the Pentagon's misplaced $9 trillion. They don't know where it's at. Okay. You know? Oh, yeah, well, there was another $2 trillion that didn't show up. You know, it was in the black budget that they won't disclose.
Trillions.
Okay. Well, do you guys understand how much money we're talking about here? It's thrown around so much now that I think a lot of people are callous to it. I mean, you start thinking, you know, $1 million, that's a lot of money. That's still, to this day, we'll still buy you quite a few toys, really nice house, some property, a lot of stuff. Guys, we're talking not about millions. We're not talking about $100 million. We're not talking about $1 billion. We're not even talking about 50 or 60 or 70 billion. We're talking about trillions of dollars, which, if I'm not mistaken, that's what, 1,000 billions?
That's what it is, yeah.
Yeah. Well, $1 trillion is 1,000 billions, 1,000 billions for $1 trillion. And we're talking about our government doesn't even know where $2-3 trillion go here, another $9 trillion go here, just disappears, don't know what happened to it, it's unaccounted for, don't worry about it, nothing to see here, keep watching Hillary, she needs to be president because she'll make everything better because she's a complete and total globalist, that's what you need to focus on, don't worry about the trillions of dollars you're indebted to the Federal Reserve banks for. guys, we got to wake up and realize we've been had. We've been had. They think we're a bunch of sweet ducks. They think we're absolutely okay with this because we've sat back and capitulated and been okay and haven't raised holy heck about it and pitched a fit. And this is where everybody has to start realizing that's what's so important about this election, because even if Trump gets in and can't do 90% of what he wants to do, he will still at least progress us in the right direction that we need to go, and that's backwards, back to our roots. That's the only way to go is backwards. There is no more forward movement anymore. We're already down the wrong road. People always talk about, oh, well, you know, you go split roads. There's two roads you can take, the left one or the right one. Which one do you take? The United States has been taking the wrong road for so long now, there's no way back around. There's no turnpike. There's no loop-de-loop. It just has to go back the way it came and go through all the sludge and garbage that we're going to have to fish through to get back on the right track again, guys. So be prepared. Once we get Trump in, which I really pray we can do, it's not going to be all daisies and sunshine. It's going to be significant because the globalists are going to do everything they can to prevent him from making the changes he needs to make. So everybody needs to get ready for it. Whether Hillary gets in office, which will be a nightmare and probably be the end of the United States by her term being over. But even if Trump gets in, guys, understand, we got to stay prepped. That's why I've had a lot of customers buying food buckets. I've had customers call me up and asking, hey, you know, I'm trying to get, you know, money together to get canned foods. I need to make sure they don't have BPA. I said, yeah, make sure they don't have BPA in them. I said, if you're really trying to save money, you can get beans, you can get rice. Do what you got to do and stay prepped and ready for anything and everything you have to. Have a couple backup water filters. Have a good distillation system on tap for right now. Do what you need to do to be ready, and don't let anything catch you by surprise. That way, if something does happen, if they do try to collapse the economy, you go, well, I figured that was going to happen. Glad I've prepared for it. That's what your mantra needs to be. Not, oh my gosh, that's when the hurricane happened down here. Everybody's like freaking out. I mean, losing their mind, not even know what they're going to do the next day. Oh, we got to get gas. We got to go to the store and buy water. Oh, I need to go try and buy food now. Why do you want to go get involved with all those unprepared people? Do it when it's good. Do it when the money's right. Do it when the economy's solid. Be like the ant. The ant prepares for winter all summer. He gets ready for it because he knows what's happening. The ant doesn't wait till winter to go, oh, that was a really bad idea to wait till winter. Maybe we should do that next summer. They do the same thing every summer because they know exactly what's going to happen every winter, guys. We're about to go into a winter, a very dark, cold winter, and it's completely and utterly your fault if you're not prepared for it, because we have been open about warning you guys and letting you know what's coming, and so has a lot of the other alternative media with Hagman and Hodges. It's coming, and it's coming fast. So to sit back and say it's not going to happen to me, I don't need to be prepared for it, I'm going to, you know, basically live by faith and pretend that nothing bad is going to happen. Listen, guys, the aspect of living by faith is completely distorted a lot of times. God wants you to live by faith, and he wants you to trust him. He also shows you the things you need to do, and he expects you the things to do, just like he did with Joseph when he was in Egypt. He gave him the dream of 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. If Joseph would have said, well, it doesn't matter, God's going to provide for me, that dream doesn't mean anything. That just means that God's going to provide for me, so I need to sit here and be a king and hang out and do absolutely nothing. No, that's not what he did. He did the exact opposite. He listened to what God told him and said, hey, this is what's happening. You need to get prepped for it. You need to get ready for it. And you're going to be able to basically help all these other places out and all these other generations and all these other areas around you with what you're about to do. So you need to get on top of it. That's what's happening now, guys. And that's what we're trying to do, is wake everybody up and say, hey, it's getting to this point now. You don't need to wait any longer. We're trying to give you a heads up. That's the best we're trying to do that. I think we're doing a pretty good job with it. What do you think?
Awesome. That was excellent. I couldn't have said that any better than you said that. That was just on point, phenomenal. You guys need to listen to that like 100 times. That was really good. I'm going to listen to that again. That was really, really good. You're exactly right. And we have to be prepped now. I mean, the ant prepares for the winter and the summer. You can't wait for winter and wonder where all the food went. Okay, yeah. You got to realize this Rothschild group, okay, this Satan bunch, okay, they're not playing this game because you know, they're not serious about it. They're playing for blood. They realize that if they can't beat God Almighty, they realize that they're going to go to hell. He already told them they're going to hell. I mean, you've got the creator of the universe, and you're stupid enough to believe you could beat the creator of the universe, which is what these guys have thought. So they're all in. I mean, they're all in. They have put their whole pot in the pile, and they're like, we're all in because we don't want to sit in hell and, you know, basically be punished for all eternity, so we're all in. See, they're playing for blood. They're playing for your very souls. They're playing for their own souls. They're playing for everything. Everything's in the pot. Everything's in the hat. And they can't go. They crossed the Rubicon. They burned the bridges. They burned the ships. They can't go back. So if you think the Rothschild banking cartel, Khazarian mafia, Sabbatean Kabbalists are going to lay down and die and whimper, you're not reality. You're not having a reality of what history has shown us. These guys are not going to go out, you know, with a whimper. They're going to fight their way all the way down. That's what they're going to do. And if we talked about this the other day, if Hillary gets in, it'll be the same old globalist take over the planet, globalist take over the United States, globalist take over the United Nations, globalist take over of everything. Everybody becomes a serf. Everybody becomes a slave. Globalist take over. We all get to, you know, do Zig Heils to Clinton. Okay. Well, that's what it is. That's what they want. Yep. Okay. Now, if she doesn't get in, they're going to be mad as hell. Excuse the vernacular. They're going to be mad as hell. Okay. They're going to be unbelievably mad that Clinton didn't get in. And they're going to do whatever they can to say, we're going to show all you Trump people what a nightmare you've created because you put Donald Trump in. So if Clinton gets in, it's going to be okay for a few months until they start crashing things here and there to bring us into a global war with Russia, which is what they want to do because they want to reduce the population of the planet. If Trump gets in, if he can get through the inauguration process, and I say that with a giant IF, if, because there's no guarantee that they're going to actually let him in to the inauguration process, they may say the election was rigged. So if he can come in, then these guys are going to be just absolutely insane. He has to be prepared to nationalize the Federal Reserve Bank, bring Ron Paul in and other people who understand how all of that stuff works, bring them in and nationalize the assets of the international banking community that have sold us into slavery. This is exactly what happened in 1933 in Germany. These guys had their assets nationalized, and the international banking cartels were thrown out of Europe, period, because they'd had enough of it, because nobody wanted to be their little sweet duck anymore. They had, you know, Germans, the word's genug of it. They had enough of all of it. And so what we have to realize is that international banking cartel has to be booted out. The Treasury has to be taken back. The CIA has to be dismantled. This intelligence agency that's running amok using Luciferian doctrine to run itself has to be dismantled. The entire running the drugs out of Afghanistan and subjecting the entire population to this giant heroin epidemic in the United States has to be stopped. There's all kinds of things that need to be done as quickly as possible, but all of that is going to disrupt commerce. Listen yep. to me. It's going to disrupt commerce. And when that happens is we all got to tuck our belts in, tuck our shirts in and say, you know what? I just got to bite down on this thing and realize we got to fix this. It's when Reagan first got in office back in 1980, Austin, the first year or so, it was awful. Man, it was awful. With Reagan, because they were doing everything they could because they wanted Carter in there. 28% inflation. Are you kidding me? 28% interest in the banks. Are you kidding me? Yes. We lived through all of that. But then after two or three years of Reagan cutting taxes, getting the money back into the hands of the people, lowering the interest rates, we got the economy back on track. See, don't be surprised if they don't pull something crazy again if this happens. Just don't be surprised. By the way, the media is silent right now as anti-corporate trade deals are protesting all over Europe. This is from the Activist Post. Over the weekend, thousands upon thousands of protesters across multiple countries condemned impending trade deals promoted by governments and their corporate partners, which is exactly what we just talked about. Do the protests receive little coverage from mainstream media? Of course they did. They stretched from Paris to Warsaw. The demonstrations came amid the Commission on International Trade of the European Parliament's plans to finalize the Comprehensive Economic and Trade Agreement this week. This policy has been likened to the so-called free trade deals pushed by the Gay Canyon and other Western governments. CETA, which has been in work for 7 years, would eliminate tariffs between Canada and European nations, which proponents argue would foster increased trade and create jobs. Just like NAFTA, right? We gotta love NAFTA. Nevertheless, the deal has been criticized for granting too much power to multinational corporations. There you go. Though the European Commission recently drafted a statement claiming environmental and health standards will not be diluted, and of course they will, not all policymakers are convinced. Guys, the world is waking up, and they're saying no more. What do you think, Oz?
No, that's what's going on, Dad. I'm glad to see this, because like I said before, people are realizing that this isn't what we want to see happening. And you said something so succinctly earlier. If the American population specifically, if everybody sat here and said, okay, I need to get this preparation for my family, and the other family goes, I need this preparation for my family, it doesn't really matter what they try to do to us economically, because we can always push through it. We band together and we push through it like we've always done. The issue that we're running into now is the globalists done an incredibly good job of this. I got to commend them for being absolutely total just globalist in this aspect, is they've gotten so much of the American population now basically on the government bankroll with all the welfare, with all the housing, with the Obama phones, everything, intentionally to prevent a large percentage from the population of being self-sufficient and prepared. That's the only factor we run into, is that even if, say, 40 to 50% of the United States was well prepared, which I think is a real number. I think even people that aren't even awake are starting to realize, hey, maybe it's a good idea to have backup food and water filtration. Maybe it's a good idea to have an AR-15 with a couple hundred rounds of ammo and a couple mags. Maybe it's a good idea to be self-sufficient. If everybody starts thinking that way, we may be able to make up for a lot of the slackers that refuse to do anything in this country, but everybody has to start coming together, and we have to bring some unity as this country used to be, and not constantly so divisive all the time with all this nonsense with the police and the Black Lives Matter and all this stuff. We got to stop it. Just stop all that nonsense and go further back to where our roots, where we were backwards, and start America back up again as a constitutional America. That's what it needs to be.
Republic. That's right. You're right. Guys, thank you for listening today. And I know it's an hour. It's over with. And boy, it goes fast for us, too. I hope it went fast for you guys. That means you enjoyed the show. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for supporting healthmasters.com, for allowing us to keep this show real, not making it an infomercial, not having to cow down to our advertisers, which we have none of. Yep. I have so many shows that I've been on before. We can't talk about that because the advertiser doesn't want to talk about that.
Yep.
So, guys, thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us, and I appreciate every one of you. God bless you. We love you. Austin, go ahead and close.
Yes, guys, and we told you guys yesterday product of the week was up for whichever one you guys wanted. You guys voted Purple Sticks, and they won. So if you guys want them right now, they're going to be on sale for a week till next Tuesday. They will be on sale. They're over 16% off right now. A pretty big discount. It's around, I think, $6 off a box, which I think is actually cheaper than the 3-pack special. So if you want to try a box, now is the time. On top of that, we're still allowing the Talk to Ted 5% off coupon to be applied to this product of the week. I discussed it, and I thought, you know, our margins are pretty thin on it, but we still wanted to do it because a lot of people love this product. So you can still add that 5% off coupon on top of the product of the week, guys. That's a heck of a deal. If you guys need anything, call us, email us, healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.